Others, we come today many years removed from these original happenings, yet the issues still remain exactly the same. And we are gathered here today as your people. And our desire is indeed that the words of our mouths and that the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O God. And that when we come, Lord, to offer you praise and thanksgiving and worship, that we would not be going through the motions, that we would not be mixing it with a whole bunch of things that really have nothing to do with what it means to worship you, but that when we come, we would come in that attitude of praise and prayer and thanksgiving and humility, Lord, before you, and indeed to lift our voices in praise to you, but that, Lord, when we gather, that it really would be so that you can be manifest in our midst. So, Lord, we pray that the lessons of Palm Sunday, though it happened so many years ago to some other people in another place, that those lessons will not be lost on us. And, Lord, that we will really be your people, that we really will be pleasing to you, and that when we come, we will not be coming out of a formality or in vain, but that we will be coming for true purposes of worship. We thank you now, and we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you are one of those who likes to follow the notes and fill in the blanks and all of that, today would be the day. Today, really, we're just going to kind of review this story a little bit. Today is Palm Sunday, and I think we know what the happenings were. I was thinking this is kind of the original flash mob. How many know what that term flash mob means? And you can go on YouTube, and you can see some. And these things oftentimes are planned ahead of time and now and kind of orchestrated and all of this. But this really was a flash mob. It was Passover time. And Jerusalem was bustling with people, and there was a lot of undercurrents going on. Do you think he'll show? Because people knew that there was tension between him and the leaders and the authorities, and they were talking to each other and all of that. And then, of course, Jesus tells these disciples to go and get the colt and all that. And it was just a spontaneous thing. You know, they didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have cell phones so they could call each other and plan this thing. This was the original flash mob, and so they're coming and spontaneously they're cutting branches off of trees and laying them in the way, which is what they would do celebrating the return of a king who had come back triumphantly, and even taking their clothes, their cloaks, and laying them in the way. And here we have a sample of some of the things they were saying. And this triumphal entry is recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's one of the few stories that is in all four. And you can read in Matthew, and you can read in Mark and John and see some of the other phrases and things that they were saying. But they were praising him on that day, and it was a glorious thing. And of course, it ended with him going into Jerusalem, perhaps even that very afternoon, and driving out the buyers and the sellers and the money changers and all of that. That is more or less how the day ended. It was a very eventful day and probably unique in its own way in all the history of Jerusalem, even though Jerusalem is a very old city. And so here we are these many years later, and we're talking about it and revisiting it. But just going back over the things that actually did happen that day, I just thought it would be good to just go back and just review those things and see how they apply to us now. Palm Sunday is a day to remember the great things the Lord has done. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. That's what we just read. They were remembering the miracles they had seen. They were remembering the eyes of the blind being opened. They were remembering the paralytics walking, some of which is portrayed in the Easter musical that we saw last night. Some of them no doubt remember the dead being raised and Lazarus coming out of the tomb. Fresh in the minds of some might be just days earlier, blind Bartimaeus being healed in the streets of Jericho. And all of these things, they're remembering the many miracles that they have seen, and they break out in spontaneous worship and praise. And that's what praise is all about. It's praising God for who He is, and it is also praising God for the things that He has done. Amen? And these things are to be expressed, and there's a time to remember. We get bogged down, and you know that as humans. It's just a human trait that we focus on the negative more than we do on the positive. We spend months sometimes praying for a specific request, and then when the Lord comes through and answers it, we spend 5 minutes thanking Him for it, and then we go on to the next thing and begin to pick up the next worry. And so there needs to be a balance in our lives, and we need to remember, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits and all His blessings. And I don't know what you're going through today, but whatever you may be going through, if you look objectively, you will be able to see that God has blessed you in many ways this year. Amen? He has blessed you. He has done great and marvelous things. So even as we visit this part of what took place on Palm Sunday, I want you right now to think in your mind, think of something great the Lord has done in your life recently. Right now, think of it and thank Him for it. Because this is a day to celebrate the things that the Lord has done. We don't do enough of that. And we need to celebrate it. Did you see him up here singing and clapping? Were you happy while that song was going on? That's more like what it's going to be in heaven, you know? That kind of celebration. And we're going to be celebrating all the good things. But the good news is we can start right now. And you say, but things are so bad and all of that. But so what? The Lord is good. In our Sunday school class this morning, we're in Ephesians now, and we're still in that first chapter. And just in the first few verses, we listed 7 spiritual blessings, and we're just getting started, that the Lord has given to every believer. And these are reasons to celebrate. So we have a lot to celebrate. And if we celebrate it a little more, it might be contagious. I remember David Wilkerson writing in his original book, The Cross and the Switchblade, about his granddaddy. His granddaddy was just an old, unpolished Pentecostal preacher. And at this time, he was pastoring one of those nice little, it was Pentecostal, but it was a nice new building in a nice little town. And it had pretty windows, and it had carpet. And his granddaddy came in there with his muddy boots and left them behind one of the pews. And then he got up in the pulpit and he said, some of you are offended that I brought my muddy boots in here on your pretty carpet. But he said, if I asked you, you'd say you weren't even upset. He said, we need to start worshiping the Lord here. Let's open these windows and let's do a Jericho march. And so they did all that. And the next day, one of the next door neighbors to the church that had never said anything to Dave, he said, by the way, that sounded pretty good last night. I like that. But if we were a little bit happier about the things that the Lord does, we'd probably attract more people to the faith. Do you think so? I tell you what, a down-in-the-mouth Christian isn't a good advertisement for the Lord. And so it is a day. There'll be plenty of time to deal with the problems. There'll be plenty of time to find the answers for the things we don't have answers to. But how about dwelling on something we do know about? Something that the Lord has done. And acknowledge that. And thank Him for it. So it's a day to remember what God has done. Number 2, it is a day to celebrate and rejoice. It is a day to verbalize our praise to Jesus. It is a day to tell Him. Y'all have heard me tell this story. The old farmer, his wife says, Honey, she said, you never tell me you love me anymore. He said, woman, I told you 40 years ago I loved you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. I think the Lord loves to hear it sometimes. Amen? You women, you get tired of hearing it? Hopefully not. But the Lord is worthy of all of our praise, and it's a day to verbalize it. Why are we so hesitant to do this? Why will we go to some sporting event at some school and yell our lungs out and then come to church on Sunday morning and it's hard to even get anybody to even sing full-throated? I've never quite understood it. But to verbalize it, to come on out with it, we verbalize the things we're excited about. Our kids come in all excited about whatever. And they, you know, to verbalize it. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Is that what it says? That's what it says in my NIV here. In loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. To the point that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. One of the songs they sing in the drama, Before the Rocks Cry Out, I'm going to praise him. I like that song. But it's a day to verbalize to the Lord and to tell him how grateful we are. I checked my Bible, and a few decades after this, just a few decades after this, one of the men who was present that day, his name was John. He had a vision just a few decades later, and this is what he saw concerning the man who was today on the colt riding into the city of Jerusalem. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice. There it is again. They sang, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. This is the one who was riding into Jerusalem. And this is the one that thousands upon 10,000s of angels constantly praise and adore in heaven. And so, it is important that we verbalize to the Lord our praise and that we not be bashful about it. We get excited about other things. We need to be excited about our Lord. Number three, it's a day to remember who the teacher from Galilee really is. In the Matthew account, it says when he got into Jerusalem, a lot of the people that were there, you know, and they had just gotten there from all the different parts of the Mediterranean for the Passover celebration. They weren't up on all the latest events. And they're like, who is this guy? You know, they could see the commotion. Oh, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And that was a correct description. But we need to remember who he really is. Why was he riding in there on the donkey? Oh, the prophet said it. Your king is coming to you. Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus is going to do this again. I believe that when he comes down on the Mount of Olives, he's going to do this again. This was the dry run. This was the prep run. I think he's going to do it again. And I think he's going to come in through the Eastern Gate, and he's going to set up shop. And we're going to have 1,000 years of peace and prosperity in which righteousness dwells and in which the curse will be removed. Jerusalem's king will really be here. And this day, they were receiving him But as Kevin was saying a while ago, that praise, it was wonderful, but it was pretty short-lived, wasn't it? But the next time, it's going to be the real deal. But it's time to remember who he really is. Yes, he's my Lord. He's my Savior. He is my King. He is the King of Kings. And he deserves to be acknowledged as King. He deserves to be loved as King. He deserves to be obeyed as King. He said while he was still here, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you don't do the things that I say?" I saw that on the projector last night in the course of the play. But if he's really King, we need to remember who Jesus really is. He's King. What are we giving too much room to in our lives? What are we giving too much authority to in our lives? Jesus is King. Two more. These happened on Palm Sunday, folks. It's all a package. Palm Sunday is a day to weep over Jerusalem. All of this celebration, all of this joy. And as Jesus comes down and turns a certain way, and there's the city of Jerusalem in all its glory, and I'm imagining the afternoon sun was hitting it, and there it was. And the temple was glistening in the afternoon sunlight. And he knew what lay ahead. He knew. And he says right here, he knew. And he broke down and wept. I've told that those who claim to know this language thing, that when it says Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb, it means that he teared up. He was silent, but he teared up. But I'm told that the word here is that he was weeping and wailing out loud like somebody at a wake. And he was crying out loud even as he spoke. And he was saying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you only knew." And they were in unbelief and they were in denial and they were getting ready to reject him even though he was there. He was there, folks. He was there. And they still rejected him. And we all know people that need Jesus. And they know. And they've heard. And they're still rejecting Jesus. And they still haven't received him. And even as we praise the Lord, and we do worship him, and we do. But there is this other part. And that is to be weeping for those who are in sin. To be weeping for those who are in rebellion. To be weeping for those who do not know the Lord. To be interceding in prayer for those who need to come to the Savior. Because we only have a limited amount of time. And there's going to come a day when that last breath comes. And there will not be any time then to repent. There will not be any time to get right. If you have loved ones, if you have people in your life that need to know Jesus, when is the time to intercede for them with tears before the Lord? Is it not now? And so these are the two sides. Yes, I will rejoice in the Lord and I will praise him. But even as he received this adulation and praise, Jesus was not at this moment thinking of himself, but he was thinking of the unbelievers and he was thinking of the price they were going to pay for having rejected him. And that is the sad reality of the world we live in now. And that is also why we need to be getting the word out as much as possible concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And just getting the word out every way that we can. And also just to not forget that the Lord, you know all the parables of how the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out looking for the one that's lost. God's heart is still for the lost. We love the Lord. We have wonderful times of fellowship here together, and I so appreciate that. How many appreciate the fellowship we have as God's people? I mean, it's just one of the most wonderful gifts that God has given us. But even as we do, there are many lost still out there, and that is why we have missionaries that go to these places where, in some of these places, they've never even heard of Jesus yet. And that's also why we continue to evangelize. And that's why we invite people to Easter programs and sunrise services and these things, because we want them to hear the word, don't we? We want them to be exposed to the word. If their final answer is no, let it be that they heard it and rejected it, but not that they did not hear it. But our hearts do need to be burdened for those who do not know the Lord. Jesus' heart surely was. And then the day wasn't quite over yet, and he caps the day by cleansing the temple. Jesus knows that he's going to be put on trial, and beaten and all of that, and crucified in just a few days. He knows that. His ministry is quickly coming to a close. As Bennett shared, if you read the book of John, Jesus did this the first Passover after he officially began his ministry, after he was baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus had done this 3 years earlier. Now, Jesus, he could have easily said, you know, what does it matter? You know, I'm near the end of my ministry. I'm going to be hanging on a cross in 4 or 5 days anyway. So choose your battles and let's just let it go. And I'll take my disciples and I'll go out to the Mount of Olives and I won't make any waves. But Jesus felt so deeply about the sanctity of his Father's house, that when he saw these types of abuses happening, he simply, you want to get his dander up? This is when we see Jesus' dander up. More than any other place, I don't know of any other place, where he displays, and that was prophesied, the zeal of your house has consumed me. That was one of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah. And he cannot help himself, as we would say. He says, this is not right. I used to work for a boss at Price's over here at Camp Estella. He was Greek, and one of his favorite phrases was, right is right and wrong is wrong. And he's like, this is not right. And he just couldn't bear it, because this place, it took 46 years to build. It was beautiful architecturally. But what was the purpose of the place? To be an architectural wonder so people could come from all over the world and admire it? Is that what the temple was for? It was the place of worship. It was the place up until the Christ, until the time that Christ did die. And that's the other point. He knew that once he died on the cross, that temple would be obsolete in just a few days. So he could have very easily said, let's just leave it. But up until that time, that is the place where God had said, that is where I will put my name. That is where my people are together 3 times a year before me in order to worship me and to praise me and to bring their offerings. And so that is why purportedly the people were there. But what had happened is the temple courts were very roomy. And it was very convenient for these merchants who had the pigeons, the doves, the sheep, and the cattle, and all that, instead of setting up shop a few blocks away down in the commercial district, just to set up shop right there in the temple courts. Now, you know that all that week, Jesus would come in, it says, early in the morning, and he would be teaching the people. That's what he did all that week. And so that was also laying the groundwork for that. He had a busy week of ministry ahead. So he just went ahead and took care of it Sunday or whatever. And he said, get all this junk out of here, because this is a house of worship, not a place of business. And he got all the stuff out of there. And it made the temple guard mad. It made the priest mad. It made all the people that were probably getting a cut of some of the profits and all of that. It made them all mad, so mad they wanted to kill him. And yet, they couldn't do anything about it. And so now the way was cleared, and Jesus could come in every day, and he could be teaching the people. Oh, and after that, hosannas began to break out among some of the children. And that upset them, too. And he's like, Have you never read out of the mouth of babes, I have perfected praise? You know, in other words, things were returning to normal. Once all the noise and the confusion and the all of that was gone, then now the place could be restored to its reason and its purpose, and now worship could really happen. And so worship really did happen. Oh, and he started healing some people. They started bringing in some sick people, and he started healing them. And so the things that were supposed to be happening in the house of the Lord began to happen once all that noise and confusion and mess was moved off the premises. So picking up on that theme and also applying it not just to a place of worship such as we have here, but also to ourselves, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What is the clutter? What is the stuff? I'm a believer, I love the Lord and all of that, but maybe I've allowed some clutter to come in. And that clutter is hindering worship. What I'm doing may not be a crime. What I'm doing, nobody else may know about it. What I'm doing may not be in technical violation of anybody's rule or code or law, but it is clutter nonetheless, and it is hindering the Lord from being able to do what he wants to do. And it's cluttering up my time and my thought life and my mind to the point that when the Lord has something he wants to tell me, he even has trouble getting my attention. Do any parents ever have any trouble getting your children's attention? Do any of you wives ever have any trouble getting your husband's attention? Or vice versa? But I'm just saying, using those as human examples of what I'm talking about. But how many times is the Lord trying to get our attention? Or there is some greater work he would do in us, or some greater way in which he would use us. But right now, there's just too much clutter. And that stuff needs to go. And after it goes, then some real worship can happen, and we can get back to what we were really designed for. Because after all, what were you and I designed for? Were we not designed to be a temple of the Lord? Were we not designed to be a place where he dwells? Were we not designed to bring him honor and glory? So these are things that Palm Sunday is good for. Just to review, to remember the great things the Lord has done, to celebrate and rejoice, and to verbalize our praise to Jesus, to remember who the teacher from Galilee really is, to weep over Jerusalem, to weep over the lost, and for the temple to be cleansed. As we come this morning, we will be partaking of communion here in a little bit. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So even as we prepare our hearts this morning, we can say, Lord, anything there, can he take care of it right now this morning while you're here? Can he take care of it even between now and the time we start serving communion? Can he do it? Absolutely, he can do it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for your love for us. We thank you for the lessons that you teach us just from Palm Sunday. And Lord, as we consider these things, maybe think about some of these things, meditate on some of these things this week, just prepare our hearts, Lord. We want to be pleasing to you. And I think you've given us a model here whereby we can get closer to you. You've given us a model here whereby we can bring our lives more in line, though we already know you, love you, and serve you. We're already disciples, but our lives can be brought more in line with what is actually in keeping with your will. And I pray that you would give us a desire for that. So many times, I don't know, we kind of get a little taste of the world and we think we like it or whatever. And maybe it isn't until much later we realize that all of that stuff is just junk. And what we've really been craving all along was you, but we just didn't really know it. And Lord, if we have some junk and clutter in our lives this morning that's standing in the way of something you would do, or you would say, or you would tell us, or some way you would work in us, Lord, we want it to go. We want it gone because we want you to be there. We want you to move in. And then there will be peace. Then there will be healing. Then there will be the things that we really seek and that you also seek for us. So that's our prayer today. And we just pray you would work in many hearts, not just today, but in this week ahead. Thank you for every opportunity, Lord, to remember your goodness. We give you all the praise. And thank you most of all for giving us the gift of your Son that we might live. We ask these things in his name. Amen.